irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, May 20th. We're back. Overcast day. Again, it was sunny this morning. I don't know what happened.
Don't know. Changes by the minute.
I know. You seem like a little short. Did someone lower your chair?
Are you feeling it? Me. Wait.
Oh, okay. The way you're sitting.
There
okay.
we go.
Because I could barely see you behind the monitor.
I'm scrunched down. I didn't have my coffee. I didn't eat.
Yeah,
I know. I'm just a smaller person today.
I know. Your eyes are like... It's like you can tell they're glistening, you know? It's like you can tell you're ready to go back to bed or something.
I am, but instead, after this, I have to go get a physical with my doctor.
Okay, so you can't have coffee and all that stuff.
Nope, because they're going to take my blood and all that.
Oh, wow. Well, that sucks, yeah. Like I told you, not a good way to start the morning. And I had two coffees already, and I don't mean to rub it in, but, you know. God, I don't know what I'd do without the coffee, you know?
I'm going to have plenty of it after my physical is
done. I'm sure you will.
I don't even know what they do in a physical, but my doctor told me that I needed to have one, so.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I know. I can't remember the last time I had a physical, but yeah, they're not always pleasant, but what the hell, you know?
No.
You have to do them.
Right.
And I think if you go regularly, then you can avoid worse things later.
Right.
You know, and then you really have to go to
Which is why I said yes when he told me I needed it.
Yeah, exactly. Good for you.
Thanks.
So, yeah, maybe I need a physical too. That's a good reminder. I haven't been in a year or so. So, yeah. It's just that, yeah, you go, they start probing you and stuff. I don't like it.
Well, that's sort of their job, but
yeah, I know.
If it results in avoiding things or knowing that you're healthy.
Right. You know, I asked my doctor, I said, you know, so you went to med school for so many years just to be able to look at inside people's assholes, you know? I mean, is that what it's about? So he says, well, that's not the only thing I do, obviously, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, you can't pay me enough to do that.
Yeah.
Which brings me to this story. It's been around for a few days that a Florida college is sued over forced vaginal exams. They talked the students into it, but apparently it's not an unusual thing, you know. They call it transvaginal probes or something. And these are like medical school students, you know. So I guess it's common to study on students and stuff, you know. So, but apparently they were like forced into it and all that stuff. And they felt uncomfortable and embarrassed and all that stuff. But, you know, it's like I can't believe the things that they do, you know. I mean, it gives you a pretty good description here of, like, you know, what they teach them and stuff, you know. So it's like they have to arouse them and stuff. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, this is what you need to learn in medical school.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
Which school is this?
This is a college in Florida called Valencia College.
Interesting.
Yeah, let's see where it is. Valencia College, Orlando. Orlando.
That's odd. I don't really understand.
Yeah, I know.
So they're dealing with, like, a lawsuit?
They're suing them, yeah. And, I mean, it wasn't men that were running the program. It was three women that are the defendants. But, yeah, you know, they experienced discomfort because they're saying in some cases the students would have to sexually stimulate the plaintiffs in order to facilitate inserting the probe. Wow. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be a student at that school, man. I don't care what it is. I think it should be like with art classes, you know, get a model that gets paid for it, and that's what they do, you know?
Yeah.
So get like a professional student that would want to have these things happen to them for money.
Well, I wonder if they were being told they were getting money.
I doubt it, you know, because they're students. And if they did, they probably, I mean, if they were told they'd get money, I would assume they would want it in writing or something.
Yeah.
So apparently there isn't something like that. So I don't know. But, yeah, you're making me tired with your yawning.
Sorry.
You sure you don't want some coffee?
I can't.
How about like a caffeine pill or something?
Can't take anything. Nothing.
I hope it, you're going like right after this.
I am.
Because if you have to stay the whole day like
this. No, I'm going straight from here to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What time did you go to sleep last night?
Like 11:30.
Oh, okay. So that's not bad.
No.
So you still need your coffee though.
Yeah.
I get it. Okay, I get it.
I was up watching The Bachelorette.
Yeah, how was it?
Well, it was the second night. The first night, they introduced the premise of this season, which is the two girls this season. It was like the two finalists from last season that people loved. They couldn't decide on who to pick, so they had the 25 men pick on the first night who they wanted to stay.
Oh, I see. So that was the first night.
Yeah.
Was it like an overwhelming vote or?
They didn't tell us.
Oh.
But then, so last night was the second night. It was like an additional hour. And they showed who got picked. And then she had to do her first rose ceremony and vote people off.
Oh.
So it was real interesting.
Oh, okay. I guess it's interesting.
Well, yeah, and then what was most interesting...
You, if you get invested in it, I guess it
is. Well, people that love The Bachelor and Bachelorette are going to be obsessed with the season because they show that the girl who's The Bachelorette like has sex early on with somebody. And
they usually don't do that?
They don't do that, or and it's not so like obvious.
Right.
I don't think. It's more like you would just suspect things are happening.
Right.
But... they show in the previews that she basically like does that early on, has to apologize. Like there's a lot of tears this season, more than usual. Even the guys are crying.
Really?
Yeah. So it's going to be a good season.
Wow. That's a train wreck of a show, man. But I can see how people would be attracted
to
it.
It's so good. It's just so good.
But what's good about it? What do you like about
it? It's entertaining.
Yeah.
Because you watch people do things that you're just like baffled by their behavior.
Right. So you see, yeah, so you see people doing stupid things.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah. I love relationship stuff. So like,
right.
While I don't agree with the concept, because in no world do 25 men fight over one woman.
Right, or 25 women
right.
fighting over one
exactly.
man. Exactly. Forget about that.
And then they become friends, and they're all like supposedly dating each other, and like then they are supposed to fall in love, and then they're supposed to get engaged. But also in no world are you dating two people at the same time right before you get engaged.
Yeah.
Like, you'd true. Only be dating one person.
Right. Yeah, it's a totally unnatural situation.
Right. But it's so fun to watch because the people are so crazy.
Yeah. Oh, well. Do you guys have an AfterBuzz show for that show?
Yeah.
But you don't,
I don't do
get
it.
To do it.
My friends do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, they must have fun with that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'll ask to be like a guest or a co-host on the show so you can give your two cents in.
They have their hosts.
Really?
Yeah.
They don't have guests and stuff?
They have guests that are from the show.
From the show. That's right. What I figured. Yeah. Okay. Oh, man. So in a few minutes, we're going to have actually a relationship expert. So that'll be right up our alley here because we love talking about relationships and dating and stuff. So that should be interesting. Yeah, so what else is going on? I mean, you know, I'm tempted to talk about the ISIS crisis, man. I mean, they're like really taking over big cities, and people are really getting concerned now. So now we have the former governor of New York, Pataki, is calling for the U.S. to send troops to fight ISIS. So, you know, people are talking now. But, you know, the thing is that from all my reading and stuff, I realized that it's not, we don't necessarily have to put all our efforts into putting boots on the ground. I mean, we do need some, but also if we help the rebels that fight them, that would be good too.
Yeah.
We can also choke them financially.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're making $2 million a day from oil that they took over, from banks they rip off, like ransom money when they kidnap people.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're getting closer to Baghdad. And I'm just, I don't know my fascination with this. you know, that's why, I mean, I'm reading like the fifth book on them.
Yeah.
But I think it's because I'm like in disbelief as to what they're doing and that nobody's stopping them.
Well, apparently they're trying to pass laws in Congress right now.
Yeah.
For President Obama to give the okay to like put, you know, soldiers out there.
Yeah.
But it's being scrutinized. So yeah, until it's passed, then.
I know. We're going to keep sitting on our hands. But, I mean, we did have some accomplishments. You see, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, they did put a special team down, and they took out one of the leaders of ISIS over the weekend. So it's possible. And our airstrikes have helped. I mean, you can't say they didn't work at all. But you know, it's hard to imagine them taking such big cities. I mean, how do you take over a city?
I don't know.
You know, you got to, like, overrun it completely, you know, and intimidate the people. And that's what they do, you know. They display severed heads on the street, and they force people to go to the beheadings, you know. If not, you get beheaded, decapitated, too. So it's, you know, I mean, the stories are just horrendous. I don't want to bring them all up, but it just... And that's the definition of terrorism, is putting fear in people, in non-militants. That's what it's about. So to drive the government to change its policies. And that's what terror is about.
Yeah.
It's about scaring people.
It's just so crazy that it's a real thing that's happening.
I know. I know. It's like, yeah, you would think it's only in the movies or in the books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Between that and like the earthquakes that are... You know, happening, and everybody is afraid that the like the big one is coming. It just doesn't seem real. It seems like movies.
I know. Well, let's hope in our lifetime we don't have to experience it. I don't know, but I mean, we have enough trouble here with water and stuff. But you know what I was reading is, I don't remember. Well, you actually weren't here that long ago. This was back in the late 90s, we had what they called El Nino here. Mm-hmm. And that's an ocean stream that comes from the from South America. And it can create a lot of rain if the right conditions are happening. So back then, I remember we got like such a wet winter. It was maybe 98, 99. Such a wet winter. So people are saying now that it looks like might happen again. That it looks like it's developing. So our next winter might be wet, which is a great promise to us.
Yeah.
They're actually starting to have people let the grass die in their homes so they don't have to water it. And then I saw on Facebook there's a video of someone painting the dead grass in green. You know? But, yeah, what can you do? You know, I mean, it's awful.
Yeah.
It really is.
I wonder what they're going to do.
I don't know, but they're sure talking a lot about California working closely with Israel for desalination of seawater. Because apparently there it's pretty advanced. So we'll see. The whole point is to make it affordable so people can do that. Because otherwise you don't have a choice. You know, you don't know. You're going to live in a drought. So yeah, that's the situation there. So I keep investigating Uber.
Apparently there's like Uber scary stories that are coming out on the news tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, tonight?
It's called like Uber After Dark, and apparently there's been a lot going on with Uber drivers in there.
Yeah, I'd be interested in watching that.
Yeah. It's scary. I mean, I take an Uber every day, everywhere I go, and
yeah.
I usually take Uber X because it's cheaper.
Right. I think that's what most people take.
Yeah, and then I was talking to my cousins, and they were saying how they wouldn't want their fiancés to get in an Uber X at night alone. And I'm like, well, I take it all the time. They're like, well, can you stop?
Right.
Like, well, are you paying for my transportation? I don't think so. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's scary to think that you could get in somebody's car. It's funny because when you go on a first date with somebody, for instance, you would meet somebody somewhere.
Right.
You wouldn't have that stranger pick you up and drive you. Yeah, exactly, you have a stranger pick you up and drive you all the time in Uber X.
That's true, yeah. But, well, supposedly they do background checks.
They don't know do how anything.
They do
that.
They do. They do. I mean, I'm in the process of applying for it. I'm just trying to figure out what car to use. But so I got on this forum online, and there's a lot of people answering questions, which is really cool. But the other day, somebody brought a some guests came here in an Uber, and it was a female driver. So that interested me, and we can continue talking about this. But let's go ahead and take the call because I think our guest is calling. Good morning, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. This is Janice.
Hi, Janice. Welcome to the show. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course. We're speaking to Janice Hoffman. Where are you calling us from today?
Where am I?
Yes.
I'm in Boulder, Colorado.
Oh, wow. Beautiful place. Is that where you've lived many years?
Yes, I've lived here for many years. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. We have 300 days of sunshine. So it's...
Really?
Pretty happy place to live, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we get more than that, but then again, we have to take the heat, too. So you guys don't have to deal with that much, right?
No, not so much, but it's just a beautiful place to live.
Awesome.
I actually was born and raised in L.A., so
Really?
Fond ties to L.A., yes.
So then, you got tired of L.A. and you decided you move into Colorado?
Kind of, pretty much.
Oh, wow.
I was born and raised in L.A. proper, so I was ready to leave,
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's funny, because I've been thinking, like, if I move, where am I going to move? And I thought Colorado is probably a nice place. I've heard nothing but great things about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best kept secret ever, because most people think the whole state is in the mountains, and it's just not true.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And it keeps people away, which is kind of, you know, birth control of the population.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
There you go. So, Janice, you're a relationship expert, and you deal with dating and relationships. And so, obviously, before the people get involved and after they get involved, you have a website. Everybody that wants to follow, you can go to JaniceHoffman.com. And,
My specialty is the differences between men and women, not so much how to date or how to be in a relationship, but how to use the differences between men and women to have the relationship continue to be passionate and keep the passion alive. And so my training is with Dr. John Gray, and that's what makes me a trained relationship expert, not a self-proclaimed relationship expert.
Right.
There's a lot of those out there.
Right.
Oh, my God. There's a million of them.
So that's that Men Are for Mars philosophy. That's John Gray, right?
Yes.
Okay,
my book is all about the Mars-Venus philosophy. It's like a mini version of Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus, according to John.
Right. And, you know, I remember reading this. This was like, what, 30 years ago when the book came out? 20, I don't know.
Yeah, 93.
It's
over 30 years, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the hard copy of Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus, just in the United States, still sells 2,000 copies a day.
Wow.
It's the best-selling nonfiction book next to the Bible.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing.
It was number one and number two in China and Iran. I mean, the stats on it are just off the charts.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
So
I only hope to be half of that, you know?
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not surprised, because I think that concept really explains the differences between men and women. And so why don't we discuss that a little bit? People are probably curious.
Okay.
What are the real big differences between men and women when it comes to dating and relationships?
Yes, tell us.
the biggest difference is how we process stress differently. Men like to be left alone and not talk about what's bothering them, and women need to talk about what's bothering them to be able to relieve their stress, and they need to physically have the words pass their lips. They can't just think about it. They need to talk about it with somebody who won't judge them or blame them or criticize them or play devil's advocate, and that's when they're able to let it go. So just the way we process stress is completely opposite, and without knowing that, we can take our partner's actions personally and then behave from taking it personally, which is not good for the relationship.
Right. And we
totally passion that you're trying to keep.
Yeah. Yeah, and you totally misread each other, you know? I mean, you're not, like, on the same wavelength at all.
Oh, yeah.
And I think once you understand that, then everybody can be more empathetic with the other person.
Absolutely. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
You know, when you don't take it personally, you don't act like someone who got their feelings hurt. And when you don't act like someone who got their feelings hurt, you can be what you said, understanding, empathetic, appreciative, all the things that you need to keep the relationship healthy.
Yeah. And so that's interesting. And I also noticed you have a section here on helping teens with their relationships and so forth.
That's my heart. That's my love of my life. My Get Smart Dating Program. It's a two and a half hour program just for 17 and 18 year olds on what guys and girls are thinking at that stage of the game.
Because
they're just entering the dating world. They're just becoming sexually active. They have no tools. They have no knowledge. They're totally winging it. And when I come in with this program, it's super interactive. We play games. We do the dating game. We do skits. We have so much fun. They eat it up like heroin addicts eat up heroin. I mean, they are so hungry for this information, and it's so delivered in a fun, interactive way that it's. We just have. If you watch the videos, all it is fun. They're either laughing or smiling the entire time.
That's
and they're
weird.
Always like, "Why do you have to leave?"
Yeah,
because they just want more. They're, you know, they, girls want to know why guys don't call when they say they will. You know,
yes,
and guys,
we still want to know
at that age. Want to know why girls go to the bathroom in groups?
Yeah. So Jen says even at 30, she still doesn't know why they don't call.
Well, yeah. I mean, and there's a myriad of reasons, but it's so fun to hear the teens say it, you know, to each other.
Right.
Because then they believe it because they're saying it to each other, not some woman telling them what, the, you know, some guy's thinking. That doesn't, you know, that's
right.
boring.
Yeah.
But when they hear it from their peers, they're all over that.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah. Plus, they get to see a side of their peers they don't normally see, which is really a beautiful thing.
That's true. And you break the ice and so forth. So, yeah, so people become
Absolutely.
More perceptive.
Some guy who might be known as a smart ass and a class clown all of a sudden shows this real soft, compassionate side towards women and respects women. And everybody in the room is like, whoa.
Wow.
So, yeah. It's just, and now I'm going into the juvenile detention centers, and I hope to go into family advocacy programs with the military. Because these kids need this. There's nowhere for them to get this information. And they're talking to them about abstinence, about STDs. If you don't have a date, all that is irrelevant.
Right.
You can't get an STD if you don't have a date. There's no sexual violence if you don't have a date. I mean, it's right. all they're all coming in after the fact.
Right.
You know, come in with the ABCs of dating, then tell them all that stuff.
It's true, yeah.
So I come in with the beginning because everybody else is coming in with the end, and they're going, huh?
Yeah, I know.
I love that. I want to train. I was a training director for the Mars Venus Institute. In my heart, I so want to be the training director for Get Smart Dating and have this go national and have all teens everywhere have access to a two-hour program that gives them information that they can make better choices from because they don't have that much information and they have to make big choices at 17 and 18 years old for many areas of their life. And they only have just a tiny bit of information because they're not taught life skills in high school or junior high or grammar school.
Right.
When you weren't taught life skills in kindergarten, don't hit, use I statements, and ask for what you want.
Right.
And
so,
then, like, you know, we forget those things as life goes on.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, and I think, like you said, you know, you grow up and you, the only stuff you know is from what you hear from your friends, from your peers, and you don't really understand what's going on. And there's obviously a lot of frustration and depression and all that kind of stuff at that age because they don't know what they're doing wrong.
Oh, yeah. You know, and ask any adult of any age if they'd like to be 17 or 18 again. You won't get one tanker.
No, thank you.
Want to be younger, but nobody wants to be 17 or 18 again because it's a very hard age. Their bodies are changing. Their hormones are coming in strong. They have to decide what they want to do for the rest of their life, where they're going to go to college.
Right.
You know, they're starting to like the opposite sex or the same sex, depending on who they are. And, you know, that could be confusing.
Right.
You know, there's just so many things. And there's all these expectations. They're an inch away from freedom when they graduate. So many things going on for them. And you know, we just don't teach life skills. And it's so important that we do because somebody does because we're... They're going to be out on their own, living life on their own. And if they don't have life skills, you can have a master's and a PhD, but if that doesn't help your self-esteem. And plenty of women who are highly educated have been the victims of sexual violence.
Wow.
So where did the education get them? It didn't get them anywhere because nobody taught them how to value who they are as a woman.
That's true, yeah. Wow. So
you can say no to a man, and it's okay to say no, and it's just little things that make a big difference.
Right. Well, that sounds pretty interesting. You know, I got to tell you now, let's discuss your book a little bit. The book is Relationship Rules, 12 Strategies for Creating Love, I loved it less. I'm sorry, I'm looking at a small copy of it, so it's hard for me to read. So, Relationship Rules. What is the book about? Is that pretty much about what we've been talking about? Or, I mean, what are the rules?
You know, what I found was in working with couples is that we're hardwired to fall in love. You know, we have hormones and we fall in love very easily. In the first 6 to 9 months, we have honeymoon hormones that take care of all the wonderful feelings that we experience. And after those hormones pass away, or after we've been married a little while, and after we get used to each other, the passion just fades away. And we tend to not take care of the relationship because we're busy, you know, growing a family or saving for the home or working hard and growing our careers, and then the relationship suffers. So I put together 12 strategies for helping couples keep the passion alive in their relationship, but an added bonus of, for each rule in my book or guideline or strategy, whatever, however you want to refer to it, there's a how-to for men and a how-to for women. So you don't have to waste your time doing what you think would work, but ultimately will maybe even push them away, because what is poison for women could be, you know, nutrients for men and vice versa.
That's true.
You know? So yeah. So there's 12 strategies, and there's a how-to for men and a how-to for women to ensure their success. And it's a real, you know, a lot of couples don't want to put a lot of time and energy and money into their relationship, and it's just kind of how we're wired. But they love to have a book they can go to when they're having an argument and go to that rule and go, okay, this is what I should do if I'm a guy and this is what I should do if I'm a girl to resolve the argument. Or to, you know, diffuse the topic that creates the argument, whoever it may be. So they have some guidelines. They have some more information on how to not let arguing. Cause we all know that when we have an argument with somebody, if it escalates, we end up saying things we don't want necessarily mean. Sometimes we say things just to get the other person to stop that hurt their feelings. And you can't take back. You know, they're out there forever. It's like social media. You can't take back what you say. But you can stop the argument before it gets too hot, as long as she knows that there's going to be a time when you can come back and talk about it when everybody's calmed down.
Right. So it is about communication.
Don't mind taking the time out if they know they're going to be taken care of in that way.
Right. So it is about communication, you know, and I think it would create a problem if only one side of the couple, one half of the couple, decided that it's important and the other one did not, right? I mean, it's like, right. It requires work on both sides. But my question is, if your relationship requires so much work, is it really worth it? I mean, is it the right relationship to be in? Shouldn't relationships, I mean, I can understand a certain amount of work because, you know, you live in the same quarters all the time and things like that. You can get on each other's nerves. But, you know, in general, should a relationship be that much work?
Well, you know, I mean, if we're socialized to believe that it's going to be, quote-unquote, work.
Right.
And, you know, when we more than just have an understanding that men and women are different, when we behave with the tools and with the skills and with the understanding of all the different ways that we're different. So for instance, if I have an argument with my spouse, and one of us says, you know, I don't want to do this anymore, I'm going to take a break, and so we stop, I go in the bedroom, and I'm crying my eyes out because it's really important to me, and I don't know if this is going to be the end of the relationship, and so I decide that, you know, it's not that important for me to be right, and I come out to apologize, and I find my partner on the Lazy Boy, kicking back with a beer and a bag of Doritos watching football. And it's only been 5 or 10 minutes. And I say to myself, well, he surely must not care because look at him. He's enjoying himself watching TV. And we were just in an argument, a heated argument 5 or 10 minutes ago. When in fact, men have this ability to disassociate. And so because it's so stressful to him, he has decided to disassociate for just a little while from what's going on so that he can reduce his stress and come back calmly. And how he does that is turning on the TV and kicking back for a little bit. Women would never do that. That's not how we operate. So we take that as a sign that he must not care.
Right.
Now I'm going to take back my apology that he doesn't even know was coming his way, because I'm going to perceive his behavior as he doesn't care.
Right.
When if I knew that that's how men process stress, I'm not going to perceive his behavior as he doesn't care.
Right.
And so the whole resolution or lack of resolution is different just because I have some information about the differences between men and women. And so, you know, you can go to a workshop and you can do all those things, but the purpose of my book is, you know, if you're not going to do those things, which a lot of people don't, here's a book you can go to where it says, okay, this is how women are. You can never change how women are. Women, we've been this way forever. You can never change how men are. Men are going to be hunters. Men are going to be, you know, they have their thing that they do. And so instead of trying to change each other, understand our differences, work with those differences so that it doesn't feel like one person's winning, the other person's losing, one person's loving the other more, you know, that it can be a win-win without it feeling like work. And you can have a lot of fun with this. There's many ways to use these rules and to use some of the differences between men and women in a very playful way in the relationship. Very, very playful way.
Wow. That sounds interesting.
You know, we're just not taught. We're just not taught.
That's true. That's true. Now, let me ask you this. If there's a relationship and let's say one person, because, I mean, like you said, you know, the man seems like he doesn't care, but actually he does. So you're saying these are just like our...
The way we're built.
Yeah, our coping mechanisms are different.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I didn't realize when I was married was that my husband showed he loved me by doing things for me. Right. And I didn't realize that those were acts of love, and I was waiting for the words. I'm waiting for the words and all the, you know, flowers and the romantic acts, and they're not coming my way. So I interpreted that meant he didn't care.
Yeah.
When his way of showing he cared was making sure that, you know, the outside was taken care of, so he mowed the lawn and trimmed the trees and did all that. I interpreted that as, well, tap your house.
Yeah.
You know, why wouldn't you do those things? Not as, you know, I'm doing these things so that when you look out the window, you see a beautiful yard, and I know how much that means to you and that you love your flowers and, you know, all that.
Right.
And so I never really, until we were divorced, I never realized that the things he did were his way of showing his love because he wasn't a chatty, romantic person.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I remember, like, one part of the book discussed how, you know, men are like into fixing things and women just want to be heard and talk about things. So like, for example, if the woman didn't get a raise at work or something, and then she comes home and she wants to tell her husband, her husband's instinct is talk to your boss, you know, do this, do that, quit, you know, let's try to fix it. And she feels that he's not hearing her out, empathetic with her. Right.
Well, part of the problem is we never went to our partner or our spouse for empathy. We never, you know, we had that problem at work, like you were just saying, we went to our girlfriends because
right.
we didn't work and we were all home and we had girlfriends to get emotional support from. We were happy our husbands had a job and came home safe and healthy and alive every day.
Yeah.
You know, and now women are in the workplace, we don't have time to be in the circle of friends that we used to have the time for, and so now we look to our partner for emotional support. Well, you ask any man walking down the street, what's your definition of emotional support? And I promise you, this look of just the deer in the headlights will come over to him, and he'll say, emotional what? or he'll say, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I mean, he won't be with you on the first heartbeat, because men aren't... For thousands and millions of years, we're not socialized or taught emotional support. And now we want you men to be emotionally supportive. And a lot of men are like, hey, you know what? I didn't even sign up for this, let alone know how to do it. So back the truck up and, you know, help me. You know, give a guy a bone. Throw me a crumb. Teach me what you want so I can give you what you want. But don't just expect me to know how to be emotionally supportive when I don't even know how to the definition.
Right.
Let alone how you would like it delivered to you, because each woman wants emotional support differently.
Right.
So even if he's good at emotional support, she might not want it that particular way. She might like hers with, you know, whipped cream on top, and somebody else wants ketchup on it. You know, so every woman's different.
How does anybody survive?
Say what?
How does anybody survive in a relationship? It's like sounds
you know,
like the hardest
I find
thing
it amazing that people are as happy as they are in relationships because we're just not taught any of this stuff. So to be able to just, you know, figure it out somehow, my hat's off to those people big time.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy. It is not easy. You know, you have to when you're in a relationship, you now have to take into consideration somebody else's feelings and their concerns and their health and their, you know, everything about them. And suddenly it's not just you, it's you and this other person. And when you're single, you don't have to think about anybody but yourself.
That's
and so
true.
Each one has its pros and cons, but you know, caring and respecting and being looking out and having your partner's back is what being in a relationship is all about.
Right.
And you know, when we take their behavior personally, and then we start getting resentful, it's really hard to melt that resentment and get back to I love you and I want you, and you know.
You're right. You're right. I see on your website you also have a relationship rules survey, which people can take.
I do.
And that sounds interesting. So everybody go to JaniceHoffman.com. A wealth of information there. You can find out everything that she does and how to get the book and everything. The book is Relationship Rules. And and then your program for the teens is Get Smart Dating, right?
Get Smart Dating, and there's a tab on JaniceHoffman.com where they can watch a couple of TV show segments where they came out to two different high schools here in Colorado, and it gives them a great overview of Get Smart Dating and what it's all about, and they can see the whole program right there in process.
Very cool.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
And my books are available on Amazon and Kindle and iTunes and all, so...
Sounds cool. Well, Janice, thank you so much for joining us. Fascinating stuff. And
thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
Your listeners, happy relationships to everybody.
Yeah,
thank you.
I know. We need that blessing. So
yeah.
Thank you very much, Janice.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. There's just so much to relationships, you know?
Yes.
Like, where do you start? And we also touched on this, that I think women... Again, not all of them, but many women tend to expect you to read their mind, you know, to know what they want, you know, and they don't say it out like, and that's what we were talking about, you know, it's like you can't expect me to know what it is that you want from me.
I think both sexes do it, because then again, we females sit around and analyze men. Like, yeah. I have conversations daily with my girlfriends about like what they think somebody meant by this, that, and the other thing, and it's like, how can we figure somebody out that we have no idea what their brain even is like made up with? Right. We don't relate to them. It's like the blind leading the blind. You cannot speak to other females about that. So the men are also not giving us any information.
Yeah.
You know, so how are we supposed to know that when you don't text us, that means we're still going to have plans tonight? If you don't confirm, I don't think we do. You know, I mean, that's just an example, but
yeah.
We don't know what you're thinking just as much as you don't know what we're thinking.
Right. No, absolutely.
We just think we're more obvious because we have like stereotypical stuff that's like out about women. Like we like flowers. We like to be taken on dates. Like we're emotional. You know these basic truths.
Right.
So
but
we
men
assume
are simple.
You know,
we only want one thing. I mean, why do we need to tell you, you know? That it's very simple. We're very
simple. There's more to it. But
it all revolves around that.
Sure. But there's lots more to it when you're actually dealing with somebody one-on-one and you're getting to know them. And there's, you know, elements of who they are, what they do, what they want,
right.
How they were raised. You know, there's all of that. And we just don't know what the other person is thinking. So.
Yeah. Plus, we're probably more forgiving in the beginning during the honeymoon stage, you know. And then I think we have higher expectations as that wears off.
Yeah. I mean, I think, though, in the beginning is the hardest part. Like, we're more forgiving, but we also don't know the person at all.
Right.
So when somebody does something, you have no idea what that's rooted in.
Right.
Or what they mean by that, or why they said what they said, or why they did what they did. And it's harder, and it's less easy to communicate then, because you're trying to be this tough, like, strong person.
Right.
And I think it's harder to get to know somebody for real.
Right, yeah. I mean, if they do that, then it's hard, you know. But if they're open to sharing, you know, I mean, if they're interested in the relationship,
right.
They're going to open up.
Well, but then that goes against what you said about how we expect you to read our minds and stuff.
It goes against that?
Yeah, because if you're communicating and open, no one has to read minds.
Right. Okay.
But that makes sense, though, right?
I guess. I don't know. I've just always been on the receiving end, so that's what I've seen, you know. I'm expected to know everything that she's thinking, and, you know.
That's an interesting thing that you just said, that you're on the receiving end.
Right.
Because that means that you view relationships that way.
What do you mean?
That you're on the receiving end of something. So it's like about you.
Mm.
That you're looking at the relationship from your perspective.
Well, yeah, everybody does.
Well,
no?
But there's two people. So you should also wonder how she views the relationship and also...
Right.
Like what you're putting out also.
Right. But she, you know, I mean, I never heard complain that I'm not saying what I want, because I'm pretty vocal about that, you know. But yeah, I mean, look, there's exceptions to the rule all the time. You know, I'm no authority on this. I'm just saying based on my experience.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I've seen. And it happens, you know. You mean you didn't bring me flowers? You mean you're not taking me out for Valentine's Day? You mean you're not doing this? You're not doing that? And, yeah, I don't know, maybe...
Why didn't you do those things?
Maybe because it's expected.
You know, you're rebellious.
People don't want to, it's not about rebellious. It's about, let's celebrate our relationship every day. You know, why am I expected to go buy flowers that cost three times?
Right. Well, because if you're in a relationship with somebody, like, part of the joys of that is, like, celebrating those things.
No, absolutely.
Because when you're single, you don't celebrate them.
But it's expected on Valentine's Day, and that's what turns me off about it.
Well.
You know, it's sort of like, okay, so I brought you flowers, but did I really have a choice? You know what I'm saying? So.
Well, it's the same thing on Christmas. It's Christmas. Oh, I have a choice? No, I have to give you presents today.
Yeah, but Christmas, everybody buys presents, you know. From all sides. Here, the man is supposed to buy something, right?
Yeah, but the woman also gets somebody a Valentine's Day present.
Yeah.
I mean, my mom got me Valentine's Day presents. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the relationship, I think the woman should do something also.
Of course.
To contribute to that special day.
Yes. I don't know who you're seeing in your life, but like, yes, it's a two-way street.
Right. No, I mean, just from hearing from people, I mean, I hear that complaint a lot from men and even women that are saying, you know, it's a stupid day. It's expected. Many times, maybe it's not even genuine. So, yeah, I mean, look, I can imagine if a guy wants to bed a girl, he would probably get her the flowers and do everything else. But after you've been in a relationship for a while and the guy doesn't feel any pressure, he probably won't. You know, so I don't know. But at any rate, I guess Letterman is wrapping up tonight.
Yes.
Tonight is his last show. I can't say I've watched a lot of Letterman.
Neither have I.
I've watched him sometimes. I'm not sure I liked him that much, you know. I mean, he's been around forever, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember before he became like a host, some, I don't know how long he's been doing this, 20, 25 years, maybe 30. But I remember him before that. He used to be on game shows. Like, he was a, kind of like those celebrities that would go on game shows. And that's what they were known for. You know, he was a comedian. And so he would be funny on these shows.
Oh, wow.
You
know, like, I didn't know that.
Shows like To Tell the Truth. And, I mean, this is like old stuff. But I remember him in the 70s. Yeah.
He's like the last one of that generation
to
go. I mean, now it's like, you know, Jimmy Fallon, Seth Meyers.
Right, exactly.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Exactly.
I'm sure he'll have a great last show, though, just like Jay Leno had a great last show.
Yeah. I know. I mean, they've been pretty emotional, those last shows, I guess. But I hope I remember to watch this one.
I'm going to record it. Also, tonight is the season finale of the season of Survivor. So they announce the next cast of Second Chances. So hopefully everyone is going out today to vote for Monica.
Monica Padilla, who was on the show.
Because tonight we find out her destiny, if she's going to go on Survivor for 2 months.
Yeah. And I really hope she does, you know, because, I mean, she quit her job to do this.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure many other people have too. You know, it becomes a big deal, I guess.
Yeah, it's a lot of time.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of, like, promotion you need to do and preparation and all that, it's just a lot.
Right. So how can people vote for Monica? By the way, if you look for a reason to vote for her, she's Jen's friend.
Yeah.
So if nothing else, there you go.
Yeah, help me out by voting for my friend. plus, she's really cute. She also did the video where she went down to Hollywood Boulevard and ran through the street in her bikini because her fans like retweeted a comment 140 times. Really? So she said if they did that, she would go and do that video. So she did, and it has like 5,000 views or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So she'll be really fun to watch it on Survivor. So you guys should go and vote on cbs.com/Survivor, and then there's a link for second chances. You can vote there.
Right. And the explanation is if you want her to be on the show, then you have to vote for her and 9 other girls.
Yeah.
And that's how they figure this out. But you obviously... You know, within the 10 girls you're selecting, you want to select her as well.
Yes, definitely.
And she's, she claimed she played the game well, so I'd be curious to see what it was like. She was in Survivor Samoa, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know what season that was, but if you guys want to see who she was, you can look it up.
Yeah, so go vote for her.
Yeah.
And that changed our, because she's going to be on Survivor possibly, it changed our Memorial Day plans. We were all going to go away together. But instead, now Lauren and I are going on another trip.
Oh, you are? Yeah. Cool. That's next Monday, right?
This Monday.
This Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today's the 20th.
So already. After the show on Friday, I'm going to take off.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And we probably won't do a show on Monday, right? Everybody's off.
I think we have a guest.
Really?
Yeah.
I better reschedule them. Who works on Memorial Day?
I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. You see, I didn't think about these
things. I'll come back if there's a guest. If not, not coming back.
Yeah. No. I mean, if you're going away, you might as well enjoy it. You
I
know?
Could also call in if you want.
No. But no, we won't do a show. I want to take a day off, too. What
you
the
deserve
hell?
It.
Everybody barbecues and
it's a long weekend.
Parties. Yeah.
And your family's here now.
My family's here. My
how
son's coming back today from college.
Oh, wow. How are, they, how are your parents liking their house?
They're adjusting. They're happy to be here with us.
Yeah.
You can tell there's a little still hesitation and apprehension about this. But I told my mom, I said, it's normal. You know, it's very normal.
Right.
But as you get settled in and everything, you'll be fine. But it's cool because we get to see them every day now.
Yeah, know? That's awesome.
I know. So, would you, just send me an email to remind me to cancel the guest or reschedule them. I'm surprised that they agreed to come on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for today, folks. We have just one more minute. I wanted to bring up the, I don't know if you saw this, but the fittest city in the United States.
No.
Have you seen that? Mm. Washington, D.C.
Interesting. I wonder why that is.
I don't know. But there's San Diego's number 3. Number 2 is Minneapolis, which is interesting because right next door in Indianapolis, it's one of the ones on the bottom.
Oh, wow. Well, also, Minneapolis is like one of the coldest places ever, so I'm surprised people will actually work out.
Yeah.
If I lived in a cold place, I'd probably never leave my house.
Yeah.
I'd have to have a gym at home, I guess, so.
Yeah. I know. Oh, well. Who knows? Anyway, that's it. Wednesday. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.